Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
As promised, let's give away some Adam Sandler tickets. Congrats to caller 10 at 800-636-1067. It's the Adam Sandler You're My Best Friend Tour Saturday, September 27th, Capital One Arena. Tickets are on sale now. Tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/events, courtesy of Live Nation.
What are you doing to protect your family's assets? As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Morad can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com, and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
If you want Adam Sandler tickets and you have not won them this week, you got one last shot to win them for next weekend's show. We'll give those away in about 55 minutes at 6 o'clock. We're taking you up to 6:30. Remember, as you get out of the office and you drive around the DMV out here in Virginia, that we're in Craft House Reston. That's where we're at. The show is on the road today, a field trip Friday at the Reston Town Center, so come on out and say hello. We're with you until we get off the air in over an hour. But right now, let's go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And welcome onto the show, Connor Orr, senior writer, Sports Illustrated, who had an outstanding story on Jaden Daniels that dropped end of the week here, talking about Daniels flexing his power, projecting his own narrative naturally. He has his mom as an agent, and they are going to make his career happen and take flight. It was a really good deep dive into Jaden Daniels. I thought it was an awesome job by Connor Orr. Connor, thanks for the time in D.C. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Very well. Great, so buddy. Tell us about the time spent on the piece and who you talked to and kind of the impetus for writing it.
Yeah, I mean, Jaden and I worked together on a story back when he was coming out in the draft. And I think just getting to know him back then, getting to know his family and his setup and kind of the way that he wanted to do things, it was always in the back of my mind that I thought that this was going to be an interesting story if it actually took shape at the NFL level. And lo and behold, he has this incredible first season, and then his mom does get NFLPA certified, and it's like, wow, here we are. So I thought it was definitely the right time to do it.
In terms of getting, you know, doing all the research, getting to know him, his mom, et cetera, for the piece, what thing that you kind of uncovered surprised you the most?
Well, I just think that, you know, with a lot of people, there's maybe some hesitancy to be out in the public. But with Jaden, it's just more of a, you know, it's hard to describe, but it's almost like there's nothing for me to know. And I would just like to be kind of alone. You know, I'd kind of like to be a homebody. And, you know, there's something that's like very cool about it and different about him. You know, I think like quarterback is such an attention-seeking position just by nature. But the fact that like he's just so comfortable being himself and hanging out on his own. I mean, his mom was saying that his childhood bedroom hasn't changed and he still sleeps in there like a decent amount, you know? And so that's fairly amazing for like one of the best, you know, quarterbacks in the NFL.
What do you make? I'm interested because you brought up his mom and that relationship. I mean, she is very involved and around, and it's kind of the butt of jokes online at times. He's, you know, seen dancing at a wedding and she's next to him or whatever. And I've kind of found the discourse weird, but you know the relationship and you know the two of them. I mean, she is around. Like, she's on the field at practices hugging Terry McLaurin or whatever. They're very, very close. What do you make of that rapport?
I think until there's something that leads you to believe that it's odious, then, you know, you have to assume that it's a parent taking care of a kid. And, you know, everything that I've seen, and here's the other thing that I always explain to people, right? It's like the parents who have gone through NIL with their kids are just different, and they've seen different things, and they've experienced different things, right? I mean, from high school on, you're doing your day job is whatever, a healthcare administrator. And then you're also negotiating like deals with auto dealerships and marketing, and it forces you to change as a parent. And I think there's something to be said about the fact that, you know, and I don't know how this is going to end with her and him, but there's something to be said for the fact that, like, hey, I want to be here managing your managers because I've already done it to this point, you know?
To that point, you mentioned now certified agent. Is the idea that, like, the team would negotiate with her on his next extension, or would he still have, you know, one of the NFLPA agencies used do that, and she's kind of more of a marketing manager?
My understanding, at least for now, it seems like, and Jaden brought that up too. I mean, he has Ron Butler, and he kind of views him as his agent, but Regina is involved in his foundation, for example. He said, like, she's critical in moments where it's like, here's a marketing opportunity. Here's why I don't think we should do it. Here's why I do think we should do it. And really, I mean, you know, there's three other moms now who have become NFLPA certified since then, Odell Beckham's mom among them. And they all said the same thing, right? It's like, you know, this is an existence that nobody really has a game plan for. And sometimes their kids need this kind of hybrid person in their life where it's like someone who knows the business but also can be mom on the phone.
Connor Orr with us here on Grant and Danny, a great piece in Sports Illustrated. Deep dive into Jaden Daniels. In terms of one of the things, one of the trappings that happens sometimes is when somebody is the new hotness right in the league. He's everybody's darling. Everybody loves the guy. We love him here. Obviously, he's been a godsend. He's great. Hasn't done a single slip up, single thing wrong. You know, he's been so great. And sometimes that, you know, you get up to that peak and then you get knocked down, whether it's just because you don't play quite as well or something like that, or there could be the trappings of fame. How is he handling all the astronomical pressure that's been put on him from his excellent play?
I just don't think that there's pressure, you know, and I think that there's a way that you can take it on by living your life in a certain way. And there's a way where, you know, I was talking to him and I'm like, okay, what did you do this offseason? And he's like, well, I went to like Paris for a day or two for some NFL initiative, but that's about it. It's not like we see him out all the time. It's not like we see him engaging in this lifestyle. It seems like, hey, he's 24, 25. He really likes playing football, and he kind of just wants that to be the beginning and the end of it for right now. And, you know, he said, like, hey, in the off season, like, I don't really talk to my mom. I stay here. I chill out. You know, I sleep in. You know, he's just like anybody else, right? And so I think he's just kind of enjoying that part of his life right now. And you don't have to experience that massive star rise and star fall, or at least not as much, I don't think, if you just don't engage. And I think that's what he's trying to do.
Connor Orr on Jaden Daniels wrote a piece for SI that came out this week. Daniels, of course, the news of the day, if you're just jumping in the car, getting out of the office on a busy day, will not play Sunday against the Raiders. First game he'll miss in his NFL career, which we'll talk to Connor about in just a few moments. One other thing, as we kind of peel back the layers on Daniels from what you've gotten to know over the years, admirable and rare for him to be as plugged in and kind of all ball as he is. I know that's one of the things that Commanders really love about him. But I find him to be, I covered the beat during Robert Griffin's era, and Griffin's personality was very different in the sense of, I feel like we knew a lot about his story and a lot about him and his kind of background and what, even, you know, his likes, dislikes. Jaden just seems so private. Like, it's crazy for a superstar who's the most important player in the town. I don't really know much about the guy. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I used to cover the Giants, right? And during the Eli Manning era, and I think you could say the same thing about him. And that was by design, right? I mean, after the family went through Archie's career and then went through Peyton's career, you see a concerted, stepped-up effort with every single person that comes through this lineage to be able to allow them to live a normal life. I mean, perfect example, like, I live in Jersey. I live 15 minutes from Eli Manning, and we would eat at the same, like, you know, three-star diner, like, a couple times a week, you know? And that's just how he wanted to live his life. And so I think that it's possible. I think it's possible in a big market, but you have to play it the right way. And I think that Jaden will open up when it's time to open up. But I think at the same time, it's like, it's almost like he has nothing. There's nothing to hide. You know what I mean? It's just like, he's just kind of a normal 24-year-old kid. And I think that's pretty cool.
Right. I think that's kind of the idea.
Yeah.
I don't want to say, like, because I'm the exact same way. It's like, I go to work, I come home, I think about work, I hang out with my kids, I go back to work. Like, I think he's kind of got that, like, boring all-ball existence, which for me is, sign me up for that every time. A lot of quarterbacks have not worked out because they didn't have enough of that.
Listen, I did a story about this in, like, before, like, the 2011 or 2012 draft when I was at NFL Network. And I pulled some executives and I was like, what's the number one quality that you like in a guy? And of course there's traits and all that stuff, but in terms of character, it's boring. Like, I don't want this guy out. I don't want this guy thinking about anything else. I want this guy to be a normal guy, because when you're a normal guy, you relate to people in a normal way. And I'll say this too. I mean, having interviewed him in person before the college football issue, before the draft issue, and then over Zoom this time, like, he just has a way of making you feel like you're the only person in the room. And, you know, he'll put his phone down on the other side of the room. I was there for when he did a photo shoot that one day for 2 hours for Sports Illustrated. I didn't see him touch it. And how rare is that for a kid who's 23 or 24 years old? I think that that's where his interpersonal gift is. And it's not, you don't necessarily have to be this big time guy if you can make people feel seen and make people feel important. And he's really good at that.
Connor, in terms of Jaden's mom, I think a lot of people, if they just sort of read a Cliff Notes version, and Greg kind of touched on this earlier, but you read a Cliff Notes version or hear a couple sentences, they're kind of rolling their eyes going, you know, some kind of stage mom, you know, it'd be like me trying to be in charge of my 7-year-old's, you know, T-ball team, you know what I mean? Like telling everybody to do what and making him whatever. And so I don't think that's the case, though, it sounds like, from this profile, is that she doesn't really seem to crave the spotlight. Go into that, if you would.
Yeah, I mean, that was the first thing she said. You know, she was very reluctant to do the interview. I think that she's certainly seen a commentary made of her on social media. And I think when it first started, whether it's a podcast or anything else, I think when you're first stepping out into public life, kind of like Regina was, you kind of go through the ringer where I think she thought she was probably having some in-depth conversations. And then the way some of this stuff gets clipped, like, for example, the thing with him having significant others and her weighing in on it, you know, when you peel that out of the context of a larger conversation, sometimes it makes you sound worse. And I think that you can get jaded from that process, certainly. But, you know, I get the sense that she really wants to be, I mean, you know, part of the thing with the agency and getting certified is starting a foundation or starting a branch of the agency where she's going to mentor like high school and college parents on how to do this NIL thing and make it seem a little less crazy and wild west for everybody. So I think that there's some good there that she's planning on doing. And whether it gets messy, I mean, listen, I talked to agents for this story who said that there's no possible way that she can be involved in the negotiation of this contract. If she tries to get involved, we'll see. I mean, you know, the only time will tell.
What do you mean there's no possible way she could? Are they saying, like, that shouldn't happen? Or what do you mean by that?
Well, yeah, just so, for example, you think about Lamar Jackson and his mom, and she's not an NFLPA certified agent, but was kind of a go-between, right, throughout this process. And it can get so messy. I mean, imagine sitting in a GM's office and saying, we think that your kid is not exactly worth this, and having to digest that and having to accept that and not being able to argue that. Whereas a lot of agents are smart enough to say, listen, I think this is really all I'm going to be able to get. And we've seen time and time again, players negotiating for themselves. For example, I mean, how much money did Richard Sherman leave on the table when he negotiated his own 49ers contract? He got demolished in that. And so I think that there's some precedent there where if you're too close to the situation, you do get burned. And so I think that's why there are other agents involved here.
No, it makes a lot of sense. Connor Orr does such a good job covering the National Football League. We love having him on the show from SI. You got to check out the Jaden Daniels feature. One more on Daniels really quick. He's not playing on Sunday, and you know him better than we do at this point. I just wonder what you think about how hard he was charging this week. You know, the way I've kind of been explained it from people around the building is that there was a meeting with him where they kind of laid out their plan early in the week, and you're trying to get him to go along with it. But you know what these young superstar athletes are like, that they want to play, that they almost need to be protected from themselves. What do you make of him missing his first career game this weekend?
I mean, I'm sure it's going to sting, right? And I think those are the moments that you probably figure out exactly how much you love it and how much ownership you want over something like this, right? Whenever you are forced to take a step back. And I think this, you know, it's almost a good thing, right? It's like a self-imposed break. And we've seen it's different with some of these younger quarterbacks, whether it's Bryce Young or it's going to happen with J.J. McCarthy here in a few weeks where, you know, even if things aren't going badly, just taking a step back for a week isn't the worst thing. And so for him, even though it's injury related, I think it's one of those things that it could end up being healthy. I mean, he's the kind of guy that if I had to psychoanalyze is, you know, kind of takes the silver lining out of everything. And so I'd assume he looks at it like that.
Connor, quick gear shift here. Let's say I was a part owner of an NFL football team. Should I also get to be a color commentator on some of those games or other games around the league? Considering, like, if, like, let's say they're on my team schedule. How's that? Is that cool?
Oh, man. What a loaded question. I could talk for hours about this. It's crazy to me because, you know, I've been raving about this for 2 years. And then all of a sudden on Monday Night Football, we see him in a booth. Everyone's like, wow, this doesn't seem like it's fair. And yeah, of course it's not fair. And so, you know, I went back and, well, I talked to a couple teams this week. And the feeling was kind of across the board, right? There's teams that are like, hey, we don't really care about this. You know, we're not going to give him anything. And then it ranges all the way to the other end where teams are like, you absolutely bet you're behind that we care about this. Like, it's not fair. And it goes beyond just talking to players on Zoom during production meetings. It's like, are you interviewing them as prospective future free agents? Are you getting stuff about their position coaches that you might want to hire as coordinators? And so I think that you either have to open up this opportunity to all owners or you have to take Tom out of these production meetings. And the crazy thing about it is I've listened to all of these broadcasts that he's done, and the best things that he does have nothing to do with anything that he's gleaning from these production meetings. When he's at his best, he's just being Tom Brady in the moment and saying, I'm the greatest player of all time. Here's what I would do. And that's what we want to listen to.
Well, I've yet to hear a thoughtful rebuttal to my take, which is your take. I mean, here's what I got a lot of on social media. Oh, he's Tom Brady, man. He can do what he wants. Or there was like the, you just hate him because it's the GOAT or something like that, which are just dumb things that don't make any sense. And then the other thing you hear is from like a thoughtful argument that's just wrong is, well, he's not at the facility. Okay. As if Zooms don't work to get information. As if being on the field for 3 hours before the game, talking to coordinators and coaches is not a benefit when you're then courting that player as a free agent, you know, that off season after you had this great conversation with them. I mean, there are just ridiculous advantages to this, and I've yet to hear anyone at any level from the league all the way down make a cogent argument as to how that's not the case.
I thought about this for a while, and I likened it to this the other day, and it's sort of in defense of Tom, right? It's like when your kid starts playing youth sports and, you know, all of their friends, like you stack a team of T-ballers, right? And your kid gets picked to be on this stack team and is winning all these games. You know, is that awesome for your kid? Yeah. Is it bad for the health of the league? Yeah. Are you as a parent going to be the one to raise your hand and be like, this is immoral and we need to stop it? Probably not. You know what I mean? Like if we're being honest. And so for Brady, it's like, yeah, it's really cool that I got the Raiders at a 90% discount. I make $40 million a year to broadcast for Fox. It does help my ownership stake, and no one's going to say anything because I'm the greatest player of all time. Like, you wouldn't stop, you know? And so it's really on him to have a dose of morality that I just don't think is coming.
Last piece people should check out from Connor is you did a scale, basically, on all the 0-2 teams and who should be closest to hitting the panic button. And the Chiefs, not surprisingly, of all the 0-2 teams, are the team you're least worried about. But they've got the Giants. They've got to win this weekend. They probably will in the Meadowlands. But what do you make of their 0-2 start? I mean, it does not look good offensively. It's basically Patrick Mahomes throwing, Patrick Mahomes running, or them not gaining any yards.
Yeah, I mean, and this is going to happen, right? We saw the Patriots go through so many different iterations of being the Patriots. And I think the Chiefs have have really tried to get ahead of it. I mean, they're replenishing at a lot of positions, but they're also just banged up and or suspended. And you can blame them for taking character risks, which, again, is something that you have to do as a team that's always drafting toward the back end of the draft. And so I think a lot of this stuff is just a compounding, you know, issue of success. And, you know, are they still going to win at least 9 games this year? 100%. You know, are they going to beat the Giants by 2 touchdowns this weekend? Probably. And so, you know, I think it's one of those things where whenever they hit a slump, it's very New England-esque, right? We freak out, and then they always find a way to win because they have the greatest player in the NFL.
Connor, thank you, buddy. Enjoy the weekend.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it.
Check him out. SI's Connor Ward. Great feature on Jaden Daniels, who is not going to play against the Raiders. That means the Commander's spotlight is squarely on Marcus Mariota. Who else is the spotlight on? We'll get to our Commander's spotlight next on a Football Friday from Reston at the Craft House. Reston Town Center today on this field trip. G&D on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Back live in Reston at the Town Center where we're at Craft House. Grant and Danny on the Fan. A field trip Friday. We'll be out here until 6:30, an hour from right now. It's a high school football Friday night.
Okay.
Round town as well, oh, by the way.
You got a high school foosball game tonight you're going to?
I am. I'm headed to Annandale to see the Falls Church Jaguars.
Now, that's the home of the Adams you're talking about, right?
Home of the Adams. That's right. Falls Church, Annandale tonight.
So I knew it was Jaguars week. Here's why. My son's soccer practice the other night. I see Adams, I see Jaguars, and I don't know what Thomas Jefferson's mascot is, but I saw them too. They were doing some cross country.
Oh yeah,
they were running, and people kept going, mind the course, to parents walking with kids or whatever, you know.
I think of any high school sport that's ever existed, the one that I would be most exposed in, and most embarrassed to have just been so bad at would have been cross country. Any kind of running long distances, like I could accidentally make a couple baskets on the basketball court.
Okay.
I might be the guy that gives you some hard fouls, you know? I was on the golf team. I'm terrible at golf.
Yep.
But we got free access to a golf course.
You sure did.
Been there and done it. Your boy was a good soccer player as a kid. Like there's some things we've added, subtracted, we've dabbled, right? We've played some things. Cross country, man. Oh my God, would I be a fish on sand?
What are you going to do today at practice? Run. What'd you do yesterday? Ran. What are you doing tomorrow? Run. All right.
And by the way, there are people who love it.
They love it.
Like, there are kids in high school right now that can't wait to go to cross-country practice, and God bless them. But there's never been anyone I see less eye-to-eye with than that person. Like, you ever drive down the road, and you just see someone running on the side of the road, and you go, why are they doing that?
I look so hard.
Why would they do that?
They're just jogging. You just continue to run.
You could just not be doing that.
Yeah.
There's so many. You could be staring at a wall.
No, I will tell you, I am jealous of people that can just go jogging.
No, I'm not.
I am, because they're healthier than me.
I'm not going to waste jealousy points on that.
No, I'm jealous. I wish I could.
I'm jealous of people whose teams win championships.
Yeah.
I'm jealous of people who are very fit.
Yeah, I'm just jealous of metabolisms in general.
Yeah.
No, but I'm telling you, the running people. There's several in my neighborhood. These in-shape people my age, they just run. You know, what are you doing? I got to go run, and they run for like an hour. It's like, what? Just consecutive running for an hour? That's so much.
We got one last pair of tickets to see Adam Sandler. We're giving away in 25 minutes right here on Grant and Danny. Got to be listening at 6 o'clock. Danny, let's give the people a Commander's spotlight. They're playing the Raiders in 2 days. It's a football Friday. Spotlight. I will start with Marcus Mariota. This is start number one for Mariota since 2022. Who am I talking about? Number two pick, former Heisman Trophy winner. Not Jaden Daniels. Marcus Mariota. 74 career starts over 10 years, 5 seasons with the Titans. There was a 3-year span in there where he went 24-19 as their starter. Ended up getting benched. Went to Vegas for 2 years as a backup. Did have a season where he started the majority of the year with the Falcons. Eagles, then Commanders, club number 5. He doesn't turn it over. Very low career interception rate. Marcus Mariota, a golden opportunity. Good offense. Hadn't gotten off to a fast start. But what if he's the guy to get him going? I mean, the efforts that he made to become a starter this offseason fell flat. But if he's able to put a start or two together this season at a really high level and be the guy to ignite this whole thing, maybe you are able to be Daniel Jones and try to get a reclamation opportunity this coming spring.
Spotlight, Terry McLaurin. Hey, man, let's go. We held out for a long time. We held in for a long time. Now, in fairness, last year he got off to a slow start before having a career year. That's all well and good. So whenever you do this kind of big song and dance, I'm worth more, I'm worth more. You told everybody you're worth more at Eastern Motors where your job's your credit. When are you going to do it? Again, I understand. Last year, slow start, too. In fact, he got off to a better start this year than last year. 7 catches for 75 yards. That 75 yards puts him exactly 75th in the NFL behind the likes of Brenton Strange and Dylan Sampson and Jatavion Sanders and a whole bunch of names that you don't know.
Just naming a bunch of random tight ends.
Yeah, a whole bunch of people that you don't know. Let's go. Let's go, man. Whenever. Now is a good time for whenever when you got a backup quarterback in there. Get open, get that football, and let's work.
All right, if we're challenging people to do better, spotlight Josh Connerly. I love you, kid. You're going to be awesome. You're going to be a bookend, many-year right tackle who makes Adam Peters look good for that draft pick. I really believe that. You're too athletic. Your feet move too well. You're too long. You got too many good things going for you to not be an awesome tackle in this league. Might even be left tackle. You might even make $25 million a year on your second contract. But right now, it hasn't gotten off to a good start. And part of that is who you're playing. It's been the Giants and Brian Burns. It's been the Packers and Micah Parsons. Now it's the Raiders and Max Crosby. You don't have John Bates to help you and a handcuff to you to help you in the passing game, keep Jaden Daniels and now Marcus Mariota upright. So I need you to step up. And this is your first week now where you're going to get a real opportunity with Andrew Wiley next to you to have, I think, the top right guard on the team that's healthy, not named Sam Cosmi, playing with you. Hopefully that elevates him a little bit. But I want Cliff Kingsbury, run the football and compliment him and try to insulate him as best you can, because they did a better job against the Giants than the Packers at making life easy on their rookie tackle.
Jack Waltz in The Godfather said, "Now you make me look ridiculous, and a man in my position can't afford to be made to look ridiculous." Von Miller, I call double-digit sacks, dude. You know what I mean? People can hear this. I go, Dante Fowler did it. Dante Fowler did it. You're a gold jacket, dude. You are one of the greats to ever do this thing. Your get off last year, the quickness off.
He's on pace for 8.5, I think. He's got a half sack here through 2 games.
Let's go. I need a little bit more than that half sack. We can't have a Dana Stubblefield touch at the end. I need you to wreak a little bit of what's that word? Havoc. Let's go, Von Miller, now. Now.
Spotlight, Sam Cosmi. You're going, wait a second, what's going on with Sam Cosmi? Well, I will tell you, according to Nikki Javala of The Athletic, Cosmi has not taken a live rep since playing against the Lions in January, and his recovery is not going at the pace expected to get him back for week five. Remember, he was put on the PUP list. He's going to miss those first four games of the season. So the latest on Sam Cosmi is that, according to Nikki Javala, she's not convinced he will be out there for week five of the NFL season. That means Andrew Wiley's got to help them fix the right guard position that apparently they didn't feel like was playing at the level necessary by sitting Nick Allegretti this week going into the Raiders game.
I feel like all of a sudden this spotlight, instead of like, you know, sort of shining a light on some people like I'm probably supposed to do, I'm not just kind of like calling out guys that haven't played well yet.
You can be positive as well.
I don't mean
I'll give you one. Spotlight Zach Ertz has a touchdown in both games.
He's been good.
He's been awesome for them.
Here's who I was going with the spotlight, though. Frankie Louvu.
Frankie Louvu has been whisper quiet. By the way, happy birthday. It's his birthday today.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Frankie.
Is that
Louvu.
Why you're spotlighting him?
That wasn't until you said so. But happy birthday to Frankie Louvu. Let's go. Come on, buddy. Now's the time. You are a havoc-wreaking missile. Let's do some of that havoc-wreaking. Just missed some tackles, it feels like. Has maybe been caught out of position a couple times. Hasn't rushed particularly well. I need some of those impact plays for a defense that doesn't have a takeaway.
Spotlight, Matt Gay, the kicker. Two misses last week against the Packers. Both were over 50. The problem with just letting you off the hook because your misses were longer than 50 is everybody in the league makes it from past 50 now. When I was a young warthog. Follow me up.
No.
Say, when he was a young warthog.
Is that a musical?
It's from Lion King. Ready?
Oh.
When I was a young warthog.
When he was a young warthog.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You could miss from 53 and everyone would go, that's fine, no problem. It's 53.
Yeah.
I'm not a young warthog anymore. You see what I'm saying?
You're an older warthog.
Now, Tim Parker, 53 is 43. Now it's 63 when you're allowed to miss. But if you're kicking from 54, 55, 56, 57 yards, I'm watching guys bang those home with ease every single time I turn on the TV, Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night. Nobody misses those. So the fact that 11 of this guy's 14 misses were 50-plus, it's been an issue. Now he's 0 for 2 from that range this year. We got a developing situation.
Positive spotlight. George Armstrong, 2 sacks, 2 games. Yeah. George Armstrong continuing his strong play down the stretch from last year.
There you go,
Dave. Down the stretch in the postseason. Dorrance Armstrong has been really good through a couple of games.
Spotlight, Javon Kinlaw. You were well on your way to making Adam Peters look really good and making a lot of us, I got two thumbs pointing at myself right now, look really bad. That contract when they gave it to him was a, wait, this guy?
That guy?
That's who you're giving that money to? Really? Have you looked at his Pro Football Reference page at all? And then we talked to people who covered him to make sure the tape wasn't a whole lot different, and they made it sound like it wasn't. He was unbelievable against the Giants. I actually thought he was really good against the Packers. To that point, Joe Witt came out after kind of bringing up a bunch of things they did badly defensively against Green Bay and said, oh, by the way, I do want to point out Javon Kinlaw was awesome again. He's been really good through two games. Love what he's given him up front.
Super quick spotlight. Yeah, I don't think we've talked about him yet. If you did one already on this, and I'm double doing it, I apologize. But Ja'Cory Cross-Kemaret. We put him in the Hall of Fame, gave him a gold jacket just based on a couple preseason carries. I told everyone to slow their roll.
He's been damn good, though.
He's been good in the chances he's been given. I think now those chances will increase. I think more is coming. This, to me, smells like a breakout week.
These are the top two rookie running backs in rushing yards this season meeting in this Commanders-Raiders game. Ja'Cory Cross-Kemaret has 99 yards, and Ashton Jeanty, who was a Heisman candidate last year at Boise State and taken in the top 10, has, I believe, 81 rushing yards this year, which is number 2 among rookie running backs. Should be a fun little matchup between a top-of-the-board pick and a 7th-round pick, who are now their team's starting tailbacks. Next on Grant and Danny, let's give you some burning questions from the NFL in Week 3 going into a fun slate of games. And at 6 o'clock, your last chance to win Adam Sandler tickets. Plus, we will scout the opponent right here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Well, right now it's Grant, but Danny will be here in a moment. Tim says he went out the door. I'm guessing he's, I don't know, did he not pay long enough for his car or something, Clary, do you think? He was having a little bit of a anxiety about his parking situation.
Yeah, I think it might be the parking situation for Danny. So if for those people watching at home, L's in the chat for Danny, unfortunately.
L's in the chat right now.
L's in the chat, yeah. So not great.
I love that this is actually slowly becoming a show bit. It started with you trying to annoy Danny by talking about W's in the chat, and now it's just slowly going to be a thing where, like, we actually do W's and L's in the chat as if we're 22-year-old YouTube streamers.
I know. I mean, we kind of are, though.
Here he is.
Here's
L's
Danny
in the chat. Ladies and gentlemen,
L's
Danny Rouye. He's back. Let's see. Just a radio show. Nothing to see here, Danny. How was it?
That was bad. I got stuck in the parking garage.
Why were you in the parking garage?
I had to move my car for reasons I don't quite understand, but I had to.
Okay. I
reached my charging limit, so they're like, you can't hog the charging spot. So I was just in the elevator, and I was like, okay, I'll move my car. It'll be fine. It'll take 2 seconds. No open spots. I had to go up to P3. I was like, okay, I need to leave, so let me go to the ground floor, which was, I assume, B1.
Yeah.
It's not B1. B1's now subground.
Okay.
So then I had to wait for the elevator to come
back.
They
didn't have a little star to tell you which one was
there. There was a crack ice.
Okay.
And it said it was by the B1, which I'll stand by.
Okay.
So I had the elevator left. Then I found P1, and that was the actual
exit. Got a little workout, though.
Yeah, I got some steps that I didn't want, so I'm here. I apologize to everybody.
No problem. We're going to keep it moving. You're doing great. Everybody's having a good time.
I feel
we
good
bring
about
in
that.
Our producer, Darius Dameron, for some burning NFL questions going into week three around.
Let's start with what's the best matchup of the weekend coming up in NFL week three?
This is cheating and lame. It's boring, but it's Monday Night Football, honestly. It's Detroit and Baltimore. That's the game of the week. That's what I want to see. It's why the people are here. It's provocative. Gets the people moving.
I'm going to give you a sneaky, cool one that I like, and it's Steelers-Patriots. This is a Drake May Paulson situation for sure, but it's also Pittsburgh was great week one and kind of met in week two. I want to know what they are. And New England has a chance at an early season signature win. If they're going to turn it around, and Mike Vrabel, who I've got a ticket for as the coach of the year, is going to be in the running, you know, they're going to have to be a plus side of 500 type team. They're favored to win 10 games is not one of them. They've already lost the game they were favored in against the Raiders, so they probably have to birdie a hole somewhere. This could be it. Or they just get beat pretty handily. They're 1-2, and it's a very unimpressive 1-2, and they're in line for, you know, maybe another 7-6 win season, something like that.
Name your quarterback that's due to go off this weekend.
Ooh, I like the question. How about Baker Mayfield against the Jets? I know it's a short week, but they're at home. Jets banged up coming to Tampa Bay. They have not been very good defensively so far this season. Or I would say, you know, another one I kind of like in a matchup this week is Dak Prescott against the Bears. I think Chicago's defense is awful. Cowboys-Bears is a 425 kick at Soldier Field. I like the Bears to move the ball on Dallas, too. Don't get me wrong. But I like the over in this game. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored. So Dak against Chicago makes a lot of sense.
I like those answers. I was going to say also Caleb Williams, potentially, because you get to play Dallas, you get to throw the ball for as many yards as you want. But my answer to this question is Michael Penix Jr., divisional matchup against the Carolina Panthers. Carolina, once again, not good. And I think Michael Penix might have a nice day.
By the way, Dad, I can't talk to Danny about this because he hates talking about uniforms, so I'll just tell you. In that Patriots-Steelers game, another reason I'm steamed, the Patriots are wearing those silly red uniforms. I love them. The red with the white and blue stripes and the white helmet with, like, the old, like, New England dude with the triangular hat from the movie The Patriot. With hiking a football, I love those kits.
Yeah, why is he hiking a football? Why is he taking a snap?
Why wouldn't he be?
Well, yeah.
He's a football player, man.
I just feel like he wouldn't do that in his time and age. Who's
football
on upset?
Players hike footballs.
Who's on upset alert in week three?
Ooh, upset times. Aim, how about we go to, I don't know if it's an upset, because you mentioned the New England-Pittsburgh game. I don't know if it's an upset if Pittsburgh loses, so I'll do a better one. Washington, this is an upset. This is prime upset stuff. Everything's working against the Raiders, right? They are traveling across country, short rest. It's off documented. They look terrible. The whole country saw them look terrible this past Monday night. They're playing a Washington team that everybody now has crowned and thinks is really, really good. Washington, with a backup quarterback in, with their own set of injuries, they haven't played well yet. They should be on upset alert.
I'll give you a couple. Eagles at home against the Rams, laying 3.5. L.A. was great in Philly. If not for some weather, I think would have knocked them out of the playoffs just several months back. I like that matchup for the Rams to keep it real tight. Also, upset alert for the Minnesota Vikings. 3-point favorites at home. They don't have J.J. McCarthy. Not that that is a big loss based on how he's played. But I don't know if Carson Wentz going to light it up. Now, Jake Browning starting for the Bengals. But I think the Bengals can kind of match them as far as talent goes offensively. So I'd throw that one out there. And then the last one would be the 49ers are 2.5-point favorites over the Cardinals. Not a huge upset, but Mac Jones at quarterback for San Francisco at home. If Arizona won that game, I would not be surprised.
Give us your headline on Monday. What's your top headline come Monday?
Justin Herbert's an MVP candidate, and the Chargers have a real good chance to win the West. I think they handled Denver at home. They're 3-0. Herbert plays well again against a defense that we thought was one of the best in football coming into the season that has not played at that level yet. And I think we are singing the praises of Jim Harbaugh, Justin Herbert, and the Chargers come Tuesday.
Two headlines for you. One, Kevin Stefanski fired by the Browns after they get drubbed by the Green Bay Packers.
You think he's getting fired?
Yeah, I think it's one of the levers they're going to pull.
Wow.
So I think he's the first guy that's going to end up going after Mike McDaniel.
That's a hell of a call, by the way.
Had a frisky endeavor last evening. Headline number two is Tampa Bay and Thanos, they're inevitable. They're going to win again. They'll be 3-0 and win that division one more time.
Burning NFL questions for you on Grant and Danny. Still got our final predictions to get to before we say goodbye at 6:30 tonight. Next, though, a Commanders beat reporter, as of about a week ago, who has covered the Raiders over the last few years, will help us get ready for this week's game as we scout the opponent. Next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.